Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Christina, who is here to speak with us about her experience of recently assisting with supporting a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Jen. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. So we had a, you know, brilliant insight, I don't know, whatever it was a year or so ago, as we're putting the calendar together and just kind of looking around at each other and realizing, it's going to take more than just the folks sitting here to actually pull off having a large retreat, you know, a retreat where we have two sessions of There Is Nothing Wrong With You going on, and we've got, you know, VMs here, visiting monks, and just realizing, wow, I'm not sure we actually literally have the hours in the day to do it. And so as we were looking at that, we realized, well, you know what, we've got this group of folks who have said that they want to support practice in these other ways, and let's see if that might be one of the ways that they can support practice. And it's been extraordinary. And so you were one of the folks who joined us for the week, and your retreat, supporting the retreat. And so we just thought it would be so fun to have you speak about what that was like and what you saw.
Yeah, my retreat, supporting the retreat. That's so well stated because, you know, on the last night of the retreat, somebody, one of the retreat participants, talked about the people who were, you know, doing the service, you know, cooking the food and cleaning things and all of that. And at some point I thought, oh, she's talking about me.
I was one of the people carrying buckets of water. And
Right. Because, you know, and yes, of course I was there in service, but it really was, in that funny way, all for me. And because I am in retreat. Even though that may look like chopping vegetables, washing lettuce, carrying buckets of water, what it is it's working meditation. So I am doing my darnest to stay focused on the task, expand my awareness to count my breath, or count my breath and expand my awareness to focus on the task, and see everything that's coming up. And it was all there. And so in that funny way of, two things I'll say about that really quick is, it was joyful service, but I was given so much more because, you know, I was welcomed into a setting where there was work to be done, but it was done, the setting was so compassionate. So there's silence, there's guidelines. There are everybody who I'm working with, let's say if we're in the kitchen, everybody there is following those guidelines to the best of their abilities, and they're looking inward, they're paying attention. I mean, it's like no other activity, no other place on earth to do great work and to do activity. So it felt like it was all for me.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm right with you, Christina. I'm just covered in goosebumps as you're talking about it, because I think it's such a rare gift that essentially the work that was happening inside the meditation hall, that there is nothing wrong with your work, is what was being lived in every aspect of how that retreat was offered, in the cooking, in doing the dishes, in setting up the dish stations, in watering the plants, in cleaning the bathrooms. All of it is the process, and it's such a perfect illustration of, I think, why this practice is such a miracle, because if anything were, you know, if there was sort of this, okay, we're going to put on this retreat, and in order to do that, here we are out in the kitchen, you know, following a schedule that doesn't work, and it's, you know, hard on the body, and there's it done, and we're, you know, people are talking and, you know, personalities are coming up, and it just, there would be no point. But the fact that it's all done in that same process of practice is so extraordinary.
It really is. And it's inspiring too, because even though, granted, in a lot of the work that I do, I am dealing with personalities, and I have to interact, and it can't be a wholly inward focus. So an element of being or a presence of being that that still can happen, and I still can be really focused on how I am in the interaction. And of course, because I'm 2 days out of being in that environment at the monastery, it's easier to translate that, at least it feels easier, to translate that into my work environment here. And so I'm grateful for that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point that I think people talk about, that working meditation on a retreat that includes working meditation, and there's a way in which the service that you provided last week was a really, you know, the whole thing is working meditation. There's a way in which that practice offers the most direct translation to our daily life and the circumstances and situations that we encounter in our everyday lives. It really, the working meditation aspect really speaks to that, doesn't it?
It really does. So not only for me is it translatable, but it's also it also felt so much deeper than I think also when you come off retreat, you always, I've heard you say this, you always think it's the best retreat ever. And so there's a little bit of that playing into it. But there's also the, it just, you know, it was my retreat. I wasn't going to groups. There was no curriculum. It was, okay, how does Christina do everything? And I can give you a really good, you know, view of how, of what I bring into everything I do. And so, yes, there's a lot of enthusiasm and love and dedication and willingness and all of that. And then there's also this just, you know, enormous, outside pressure that I say I place it on myself, but we know in this practice that it's being placed on me by a bodiless voice in my head.
Exactly.
To perform in a particular way and to meet standards that aren't even really clearly set, but I'm never meeting them. That's the one thing that's very clear. I got to see all of that in a way that has really caused a lot of suffering in my life. And I got to see it play out, you know, really strongly in a very compassionate and supportive place. And that is a gift that, I'll always be grateful for. Just like the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, being on that retreat is something I will never, ever, ever forget. And I will encourage everyone who walks on this planet to get to one.
Wow. I just, as you were talking, the curriculum was basically the short recitation, right? To use everything in my experience to see how suffering is caused so I can drop that and end suffering. And to have out, I think one of the things, as you're describing it, I'm seeing from my own experience that can be helpful is there's a lot of repetition. So, for example, well, you talk about it. I'm gonna spin a lot of salad. I'm going to wash a lot of lettuce, right? And that starts to be really helpful in terms of seeing each time a little more about that, a little more about that, a little more about that, right? I mean, it really starts to get so clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What is this dread or what is this, this dislike or discomfort? Why is this coming up again? Why are you looking at the bin thinking, oh, no, it's so great? Because at some point you're like, this is kind of dumb. I've got to let that go. Time to drop it.
Well, and if we learn the process of looking at that thing that causes me, quote, dread, and actually get interested and curious and excited, I mean, that's a good definition of freedom right there.
Yes.
How's it going to get me?
Exactly so.
Well, and Christina, the other thing I saw as you were saying that is I've heard Sherry say many times before that it's a good deal when each person in the bargain feels like, no, no, I definitely got the best part of the deal. That's how I feel like it is at the end of a retreat like that, where there are the folks in the retreat looking at all of the folks like you who supported the retreat and think, God, I mean, I got to sit in here and do this extraordinary work, and they're out there with buckets of water, and then the folks who are out there with buckets of water are saying, oh my gosh, I mean, there is nothing better than this. I hope everyone gets to have this up, right? So it's one of those places where everyone in the equation feels like, I'm pretty sure I got the best deal out of this.
Yes, and there's something I can't quite, I don't know if I can articulate this, but all of life in so many ways is that opportunity is always there. You know, no matter where you are, somehow to me it feels like it ties right back to just that place of presence where even though you might be in the act of, you know, what looks like from the outside giving, you're actually receiving, and that's available anywhere.
Oh, that's such a good point. That's such a good point. Yep. That I think we talk sometimes about it. That line between who and what is giving and who and what is receiving becomes completely, it's just all a circle, just a circle.
Yeah.
Well, I can say from the bottom of our hearts, those folks who live here and who do these retreats, it is extraordinary to have people who have a practice, who want to come do this, to participate in that way, and who end up feeling like you're describing, which is that they got the good end of the deal, because it certainly feels like we all did. So thank you very, very much, and thank you for being with us to talk about it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Thank you, Christina.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Christina. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you doing? That was a fun conversation.
Wasn't it? Kind of makes you want to be there doing that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fun to see, you know, I'm sure I got the better end of this deal, and everybody feeling that way. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the opposite of that never really feels good, does it? To feel like you took advantage of somebody. It's just there's never anything that's going to come out of that actually feels good. So to be in that one where everybody's just giving and receiving in that circular way that Jen and Christina were talking about, it's just delightful, glorious.
Yes. Yes, and I'm sure that practice has helped me to see that, the giving and the receiving as one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, right, because we feel so given to, right?
Yes.
I mean, we talk about that a lot. You know, practice itself has given us so much. I mean, we have the ability to end suffering in a lifetime. I mean, come on. How would we ever repay a debt? It's just we couldn't. It would be impossible. And so it becomes really fun to try. To come up with to come up with ways to say thank you for the fact that I don't know. How do you say that? We've been given these lives. It's just, it can't be expressed, but we feel it.
We try.
Yeah, we keep trying.
Yes. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here.
All right. What's going on?
I will tell you.
All right.
Recording and listening training is a six-week conference call retreat for teaching six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. A new class starts July 11th.
July 11th. Whoa, that's just coming right on up, isn't it?
That's right around the corner, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat offers foundational work in going beyond self-hate that is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. There are a couple of slots left in the retreat coming up, July 28th through August 4th.
Oh, okay. I thought that one was full. So, well, isn't that good? Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Participants in the Mornings with the Mentor group coaching program will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally. The four-week coaching program starts August 8th.
All right.
Take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive retreat, guided by Sherry and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. The retreat runs from September 1st through 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. A lovely location.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic and about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, before we get going, I just got a text, and I'll tell you what it says.
Yes, I got the same one.
You got the same one? Okay, good. Yeah. The deadline is July 8th for the RL class.
Yes, for the recording and listening class.
Mm-hmm.
Great,
right.
That's the
well,
one.
Well, I guess we just did that.
July 11th. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So the deadline, oh, I see. It starts on the 11th. The deadline is on the 8th. Well, that makes sense.
Yep, 8th right. To sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So do that
okay.
Just as soon as the show is over.
Right. I'll hop right on that.
No multitasking.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And we have our first caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Isata from Lima. Wow, that was unexpected.
Hi, Isata.
Hey there.
Hi.
We have some surprises up our sleeve.
Oh, my God, yeah. I had spoken to my coach just a couple of hours ago about asking about something on the show. And I was so hoping that I wouldn't get on, so I didn't get to ask it, my God. Oh.
But, you know, you're being plotted against. Here you are.
Oh,
what
okay.
Is it? You can tell us.
Yeah, but it's something, oof, that I have the feeling that it's not okay to talk about. So, oof, let me catch my breath. So, it's about partying and sex. And an idea that a good practitioner, that a good Zen practitioner doesn't do these things. But I tell you more about the process I've been into in the last couple of weeks. I came back from the monastery so full of energy and full of life and full of love for the world that I ended up meeting people, going out, dancing, having, oh my God, such a great time. But it doesn't feel like a conditioned time. For example, last Saturday, you know, I went out with my best friend, we danced all night, and I have to say that I met a guy, and I slept with him. And it was super fun and super good and totally connected. But it was nothing like looking for the love of my life. It was just enjoying life and my body. What happened? Mm-hmm. For the following 3 days, I couldn't do the exercises of the daily retreat, you know, because uh-huh. I had this idea that what I was doing was not in line with practice. And so I'm alienated from practice, so that I mm-hmm. either live a monastic life, but if I want to live this life and like it, because I have to say I really had fun, you know, it was really good. No regrets, mm-hmm. really good. And so the thing that I enjoy this makes me not compatible with practice. This is the bamboozle, I mean.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so, Isota, would you say that that there's an element of guilt involved? I mean, I understand you really had fun, but what is it that then comes in and says, yeah, but you shouldn't, you can't practice this, if you...
No, the practice is not guilt, thank God. The practice is, oh my God, finally I'm living and I'm enjoying my body and I'm enjoying my life and dancing, but... Sangha or Sherry, oh, it's so stupid, I'm sorry, I'm just reporting conditioning, eh? Sherry wouldn't understand it. Or the Sangha, everybody always talk about how beautiful it is to walk in the wood and listen to the birds, and nobody talk about how beautiful it is to dance all night and make love, you know? And so uh-huh. this kind of alienates me from you guys. This is what the conditioning is saying.
Yeah. And so what do you think the point of that is?
It wants to keep me away from practice also, because if I didn't practice, I wouldn't be able to live it that way, because I was so present, you know. I was as present uh-huh. throughout all this as I was present weeding in the garden, you know. And the uh-huh. beauty of all this is that I was present, that I was present with people. It was not like partying when I was 16, when I didn't even understand what was going on, you know. And so, mm-hmm. but if I stopped practicing, if I didn't meditate, and if I didn't stay with us, with Sangha, I would lose mm-hmm. this ability to be present. Ego would come in, I wouldn't, you know, I would get drunk instead of enjoying what's, you know, I would lose everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It wants me yeah. to lose everything, you know.
Yeah. Well, I have a suggestion. Shall I tell
I'm
you
all
what
ears.
It is? How about if you stop believing what conditioning is telling you?
Huh.
Bet you haven't heard that before
from
me, huh?
Yeah, I heard that before. I'm just trying to say, to think about what makes it believable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels more believable.
Yes, well, that's why I asked you about guilt. And that sometimes, you know, those kinds of things can be pretty subtle. You know, it's not yelling at you that you're a bad person, but it's creating this notion that how you are, what you're doing, is not okay with those people.
Exactly.
But but those people have never said that to you.
No, you haven't.
Yeah. The only place that's ever been said is inside your head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me, so it's true that I never heard you say that any of these things is forbidden or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it like kind of not, is it, do you agree that these things as long as it's for a period where you really feel that life is guiding you, kind of. It's conditioning saying kind of, because I feel that I'm totally expressing life. Do you think these things are compatible, can be compatible with practice?
Well, here's the one that to me covers it. It's not what, it's how.
It's how. So as long as I'm present.
Well, you said without practice, you know that you would not be present to what you're engaged in. And and so it's not just dancing and having sex that you're present to. You're present to all of your life. And so you go to work and you do whatever activities you do, and you're with your colleagues and you're with your friends, and you travel, and you do all sorts of things. And there was a time in your life when you weren't present to any of it.
Of course.
Now,
before practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you're present to all of it.
Uh-huh. And so I just, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one of the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So one of my favorite stories, quotes, is about William Penn, who actually founded Pennsylvania. I guess he gets credit for that since it's named after him. He converted to Quakerism when he was an adult. And at that time in history, gentlemen wore swords.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to him one day that he was a Quaker, one of the most nonviolent groups of people ever to grace the earth, and he was wearing a sword. And so he went to his teacher and said, "What about this?" And his teacher said, "Wear it for just as long as you can."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is how we want to approach everything in practice. So we
yes,
do what we do with full conscious awareness,
That
as long as that's what's going on in our lives. Because if we don't, then we will, we'll go.
It would be out of righteousness or conditioning and not out of center if I didn't do it
because
I can't, right?
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. And that which results in resentment and bitterness and happiness and suffering. So why do that? So people will say, because we have the precept not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics nor assist others to do so, right? And people get in a great twist because they like to have wine with dinner, or they like a beer at the end of a day, or whatever it is. And the encouragement always is, whatever you're doing, do it with full conscious awareness. And see what goes on. But above all, don't turn it over to conditioned mind, because its only point is to make you unhappy.
You clarified everything. I'm so happy. And I feel I still belong. So thank you so much. I don't feel...
Well, you're so welcome.
I don't
and
belong anymore.
And I'm glad that it worked out for you to get on the call, right? Because if ego had had its way, we would never have had this conversation, and it would keep pushing for, well, you can't go back there again, because, boy, if they find out, then they're just, that's good. Yeah.
If my coach hadn't told me to do, if my coach hadn't given this to me as an assignment, I don't think I would have ever dared to to mention it.
There's an argument for having a coach, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so
you
much.
You are so welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isota.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Isota. Sherry, I'm always amazed by the extraordinary willingness and courage of people who call into the show and share what conditioning doesn't want them to share and just put it right out there and it's cleared up. It's great.
Yes. And that it's that we talk about this on the morning show often, that it's the whole conversation, right? Everybody, we all benefit from what anybody is looking at in their practice, because we can't all look at everything all the time for ourselves. But when we have this big team, then somebody is always looking at something that's helpful for us.
Yes. And what I just saw as you said that is that what I see when other people share is I see the process, and then I also see the content and how they relate.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I can always take something from both of those.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
A good deal.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's next?
All right, let's find out. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Carol from Port Townsend.
Well, hello, Carol.
Hi, my heart is beating a little bit faster here. So I didn't think I'd get on the air, but here I am. So let's see, about the assignment, the daily assignment from, I think it was from yesterday, about what do you do about people that you don't like, or how are you? And
how are you with people you dislike?
Yeah, and so it came to me quite quickly, and it was like out of there.
It was
in
what?
Other words, is out of it. How am I? Well, I'm out of there. In other words, I try and leave this situation as quickly as I can.
Ditch him.
Mm-hmm. Ditch him, right. And so there's a couple of things I'm learning about this. And well, one is people that I don't like are people that, well, this is ego, of course, not me, that, quote, talk too much. The people that talk too much. And then I was trying to look at that through the projection lens, you know, do I talk too much? And that doesn't ring true at all. So I thought, well, it's not that somebody talks too much. It's more like they're talking about things that I'm not interested in. And it was fascinating. I could listen forever. And so I thought, well, there's probably occasions when I talk about things that aren't of interest to people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
one of the, to me, interesting aspects of projection, which you're looking at, right? So do I talk too much? Well, no, I don't talk too much. And so to look right under that, why not? And usually we can find some sort of something there that keeps us from being the way we would be if we weren't being kept from being that way. And those ways that we're kept from being, we have strong opinions about the people who go ahead and indulge those behaviors that are
right.
We're not allowed to have.
Right, exactly. I get like it's easy for me to get angry when someone is doing something that I'm not allowed to do by ego.
Yes,
you know that really. Ego.
How dare
they? How dare they? Yeah, and then the resentment comes up. I'm following those rules. Why aren't they? It's not fair. All that kind of.
Yes, and then, of course, now back to Isota, we could ask ourselves, well, why am I not doing that?
Yeah.
Because,
I know.
Because
yeah.
not doing that supposedly makes me a good person and makes me in a position to judge other people who are not being good people. You think, well,
right.
is that really the payoff we're looking for?
Yeah, so following the rules. Yeah, and I find that sometimes I do like to talk a lot, and I like to talk a lot about me, mostly about what I'm learning, you know, through practice. So sometimes it's just lovely to talk a lot and be listened to. And I see that in some groups that I'm in, that I do that sometimes. I just look at it, I go, wow, I didn't put on the brakes. I just talked as much as I wanted to, and actually I talked more than anyone else in the group. And it's, so I see that, I saw that, and I go, that's okay, you know. And that it was really lovely, you know, to break that rule. And also not have that rule stand up as a huge stop sign in front of my face, but more like, oh, there's that rule, you know, but I'm not paying any attention to it.
Uh-huh. Well, and I'm guessing that part of what happens with that is more appreciation for the other person, right, who is talking about something that you're not particularly. So at one point, somebody was talking to me about, turns out it was golf, and she was so excited about it. She was just so excited about it. And then she kind of got, I project, self-conscious, and said, oh, well, but that's not probably, you know, you don't want to. And I said, no, it's great. And she said, well, most people, you know, that I talk to, they have no interest in golf, and they get really tired of me talking about it. And my response was, I love to listen to anybody who's lit up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they're lit up about. I love the lit up energy.
I've had that experience too. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's really, when somebody is going on and 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 on, and it's not uplifting, well, that's not quite the same, is it? That's a bit more of a spiritual challenge.
Right. Yeah, that's a big challenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, just one other thing that I wanted to say. So if I'm in a new group or something, ego will judge everyone. Oh, she's to this, he's to that, whatever, comes up with these instant judgments about people. And then I go to the next group, the same group of people, and they're talking, and then I grow to appreciate them very quickly. And my initial judgment, or my initial not liking them, evaporates quite quickly. So,
and are you taking that as an opportunity to see the difference between ego and you?
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Right. Because it's ego that dislikes, and it's me that actually is interested in people and has an open heart. Yeah.
Likes and appreciates them, enjoys them.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that, again, that, you know, now what conditioning would want to do is go into the group, judge everybody, judge you for being judgmental, and it's a general feel bad. Probably the next thing is, why don't you quit going to these groups? You know, all that happens is you turn into a judgmental witch, and it's just completely unpleasant. And why do you even bother to do that? But in fact, going to these groups and watching what happens, you see what conditioned mind does. You see that it is conditioned mind. You see that it's not you. This is good. This is a good workshop, isn't it?
Yes, it's very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm learning in that way, I'm really excited, you know, so I keep wanting to go to groups and be around people for all that I can learn.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good.
All right. Thank you so much, Sherry and Michael. Nice to be on the show.
What a pleasure.
Take care.
Got a show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, at livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open.
Esota did a great commercial for that, didn't she? So there's
yes.
She made a great argument for getting one of those coaches.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I'll speak from experience myself that it's been incredibly helpful to have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
A real real gift to my practice and my life.
Yeah. Somebody on our side and disidentified from the things that we might have trouble disidentifying from. It's good to have
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And sometimes I remember you talking about walking around and having the Buddha next to me all the time,
right.
Through my day. And, that's the feeling I get from having the coach mm-hmm. there. The person who's mm-hmm. unconditionally on my side.
Yes. Yeah. That's good.
Great. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Melissa in Seattle.
Hey,
well, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. And yourself?
I have been better, which is why I'm calling.
I see. Well, what's going on?
Well, I have... Sorry, I was walking up a hill on my way home, and I stopped now, but I'm sound out of breath. I have a really nasty self-hate slash shame reaction going on in the middle of the night that is basically kicking my butt. I have like a moderate recording and listening practice right now. It had been really strong mm-hmm. for a while, and then it got really weak, and now it's moderate. And so I'm super aware of it. I do it at least every couple of days, and I keep my phone by the bed so I can do it at night if I get these reactions. So the strongest self-hate I have comes up, at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And it's usually pretty nasty, but I usually recognize it and can, just shoot it down right away, usually without a recording. But sometimes I have to use one. Well, recently I started doing short-term, just like a few sessions of hypnotherapy to try to help my sleep in general, not just this issue, but just generally. And it's tapped into that stuff really deeply, which I think is overall probably okay because I feel strong and not depressed. And I think on the whole, I can handle it, except that when it comes up now at like 1 or 2 in the morning, it's insane. I mean, I know that for some people it will use the you when it's self-hate, but for me it uses I when it's self-hate. And then I feel like my mentor says you more often. Like I love you and things like that to me. So it has been waking me up for the last few days, and it's like just vicious. I mean, nothing I've ever heard before, including I should kill myself. And I know I don't believe it, but I can't make it stop. And I recorded last night. I mean, I listened. I had recordings. And I listened to them from 1 until 5. And I calmed down a little bit, but I couldn't sleep. It was just, so here I am.
Okay. Well, do you know what I'm going to say?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. So, here's what's so about that. So I'm walking up a hill on my way home from work, and I realize, wow, I am really out of breath. And I think, I think my fitness has slipped. Okay. So I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and get my fitness back. Or I realize, okay, I don't have to give you example after example because you went right there, didn't you? Yeah, exactly. Because that's what that system counts on. Now, hypnotherapy is fine, but to me, it's like anything else that we do to try to get around this system.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it won't work because it is a system that has a particular goal in mind. Not really, but that's what it's like. So if I were going if I believed that breaking a particular habit would end my problems, then I would put a lot into breaking that particular habit. But what would probably happen to me if you've ever done something like quitting smoking and then you realize you just started eating because it's the habit is there, it's in place, it's the habit that's an issue, not the smoking, not the eating, not the whatever it is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you decide that you're going to take on the system, then it's not going to be able to just go from thing to thing to thing and ultimately defeat you because you are ending the system. So you are working on the process, not an endless series of content.
Do you think...
You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm trying to fit what these sessions with the hypnotherapist, how they fit in. Is that not going after the system? Because it's pissed.
Oh, well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like going on retreat, and the same thing will often happen to people at night. You know, the system will either wake them up in the middle of the night and go after them or provide nightmares or whatever it is. But the thing, and you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. However, again, it's not going to address what's going on. So so if you are dependent upon someone else to do something to you so that you will be all right, then...
Right. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But when you face it down in the middle of the night, when you can laugh at it and you know it has no hold on you at all and you're just interested in the sensations in your body and what conditioned mind does with it and all of that sort of thing, you don't ever have to be afraid. It has no power over you.
Yeah, I am afraid at night. I mean, even when I don't believe it, which is about... you know, 3 seconds in, I'm like, oh, it's you. I'm still afraid of it because it won't go away.
Yes. And the more you try to get it to go away, the more it's there, which is why we don't do that. Right?
Yes. That's why
go
the
ahead.
Recordings weren't working because I had that objective in mind. I wasn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
It had you. And so that's the place where people will be going along and then conditioned mind says, okay, now check and see if it's working. And then they check to see if it's working and the voice says, no, it's not working. Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's right? Like you were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So maybe, up your recording and listening, do some two-handed recordings, you know, get to the point where you really see what self-hate is. Have you done There's Nothing Wrong With You?
Yeah, I did it.
Yeah, okay. So
I did
you know. Yeah, you know the structure of how that process works. And so it's just practicing with it until you get to the point where you just see, it's just a nasty voice. It can't actually do anything to you. you know, you can get to the point where it'll actually just kind of lull you asleep because
it's so boring and predictable.
It is so boring and predictable. Such a bunch of lies and hogwash and nonsense, and you just laugh and turn over and fall asleep. And on the way to that, you very likely will want to have some recordings that you listen to that soothe you and relax you and remind you of who you are and what's true and what's so and all that.
I have those, and I like them. And mm-hmm. I feel like I do see it as tedious, if not boring. But, yeah, for some reason. So you're saying that if I do this, if I practice more frequently, then...
All the time.
When I have
all
these
the time.
Episodes, yeah.
If, all the
yeah,
time.
Like exercise.
Yes. And the shift that will happen for you, I hope, is that you will move away from, oh, recording and listening, that's something I have to do if self-hate comes at me in the middle of the night, too. I can be in a conversation with unconditional love all the time. I can live always in the place I want to be living, the place I choose to live. That's what it offers us, not a Band-Aid for, when I just got stabbed.
Right. Or like I went to the hypnotherapist for the sleep problem that isn't involved with self-hate. I could have just used this to address it.
Yes. It's cheaper, too. It has that going for it.
I like it. I do like it. I have terrible excuses for why I don't do it more, but this is a good reason to do it more.
Well, yes, and the terrible excuses are all coming from the same voice that ultimately will try to get you convinced that you should kill yourself.
I know. It was shocking to me when I stopped doing it. You know, when I went from that year of really strong practice, it was surprising to me that I stopped. I don't even understand how it happened. I know it was it, but I don't understand how it happened, which disturbs me.
Yeah.
But.
Yes, which is why we want to keep practicing until we do see it and we're not fooled at all anymore, ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, I could have used it to figure that out. Thank you so much.
You are so
welcome.
It. Let's stay in touch.
All right. Thank you for the show.
Okay.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. And more willingness, Sherry. There is a ton of willingness on this show.
There is. You know, I should have asked Melissa if she knows about the morning show, which is another great regular ongoing support and tons of things to listen to remind us of who we are and what is so.
Yes, and in case she is listening, I'll just mention that she could email information at livingcompassion.org if she was interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, sir.
Sure. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air.
Oh, my gosh.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Karen from North Carolina.
Hello, hey, Karen.
Hello.
You weren't expecting to get on, were you?
No. This happened to me last time. The caller before me didn't pick up, and then it was me the next time. I am.
So what are you seeing?
Well, this call is speaking so much to me. My heart is so full. One of the fruits of practice that I'm experiencing so much these days is how life takes care of me. And in those moments when, quote, I forget to try to control things, that's when I really see it so clearly.
Uh-huh. So when you get caught up with ego and fall for the idea that you can control things, then there's not much to see.
Well, that is my experience as well. But what I was
but that's not what you were saying.
Well, what I was looking to express was how much when I let go of being in control, well, and I try to speak it in third person, but when that process of being in control is let go of, then that's when it's revealed to me how much life takes care of me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 There has to be some open space, right, for us to see what's actually going on.
Yes. Yes. And
if
it's
conditioned
always...
conditioned mind is taking up all of the room, then it's hard for us to see anything else.
Yes, and it happens. All the time I'm being taken care of, but it's those times when quote unquote I slip up and don't pay attention to a certain thing or forget something, but life unfolds just in the best possible way. I'm going, well, wow, I don't need to effort so much.
Yeah, thank goodness I wasn't in control of that.
Yeah.
Because I would have gone in a different direction.
Or
maybe
or
maybe I'm onto something here.
Yes, yes. And I'm really excited to this call is talking about coaching so much. I'm in a place in practice where I'm actually getting ready to sign up for a coach.
Uh-huh.
Again. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of places where I feel like ego is getting the upper hand. And yeah. And
so what you're indicating, since you said again, you've had a coach before, and then you go along, and now you see yourself in a place where it occurs to you that, might be a good time to have a coach again.
Yes. Yes. And what, part of it, what Asoda brought to the table today is about being the courage to be really transparent. And part of my bamboozle over the years is the fear of being transparent and the fear of, because I've been identified with ego.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes. And ego wants us to hide out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It wants us to isolate and not let anybody know, because people will think, what will they think? They'll judge you if they knew about, if they only knew that. And of course, the only place that's happening is in conditioned mind, right? So as we find that courage and step out there and admit, acknowledge what's going on, it becomes clear, wait a minute, it's like Carol in the group, wait a minute, that's not me. I can reveal what ego is doing. That's perfectly safe.
Yes, and and over the years of practice, when that's the beauty of this practice for being a long-time practitioner. When you get to this place, when I'm in this place now, where I realize to take the next step, I can't do it alone.
Yes. Oh boy, isn't that wonderful to see?
It's so. I mean, tears come to my eyes because this. I feel like I'm in a really crucial place right now. We always are.
Yes. Well, yes,
but,
we are. And
yeah, but,
I think that the place that you're pointing at is slightly different from the usual, yeah, every moment is life and death.
Yeah.
And I can see that it could be, I'm ready to take the next step. I'm ready to let go of something. I'm ready to whatever it is. And I'm not sure I can do it on my own. So I'm going to reach out for support.
Yes. And the gratitude that I feel that the support is there, that it's just so, I don't know what else to say. I'm just very excited.
Yes. Yeah, me too, Karen. And to underline that, because there are so many people in this world who are in that kind of place, even with that level of conscious awareness that you're bringing to it. You know, I'm in trouble here, and you're not saying you're in trouble, but I really need help. I need mm-hmm. support. I need, and they have no idea where to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I years ago, when I was in a very desperate place, and actually it resulted in the attempted suicide, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was. And I was in that place of, I have no idea what to do.
Mm.
No, I don't know how to find somebody to help me.
Mm.
And so the fact that we have that kind of support so readily available to us really is a cause for great gratitude.
Yes, a cause of great gratitude and celebration and
mm-hmm.
all of that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I got on the call is even more magical
mm-hmm.
for taking this next step.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's, we are so cared for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the whole thing that you're looking at, that you're pointing
mm-hmm.
at.
We are so cared for. I had the luxury of about 10 minutes before the hour, there was nothing, I mean, there was this open space, and so I got on the cushion and I dialed in, and that rarely happens. And it's just such a beautiful moment, and I'm so grateful. And, I'll be sending that email.
Okay. Very good. All right.
It's truly an adventure. It's such an adventure.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and if we have that disidentified, stepped back clarity,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we're not hooked into ego and we're not taking it personally and we're not believing that there's something wrong and getting hooked by the self-hatred, then we can see this is phenomenal. It's truly extraordinary. And what's most extraordinary is to know that.
Mm. I feel it in every part of my body.
mm-hmm.
And I thank
All right.
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah? Oh, you're so welcome. Thank
All
you.
Right. All right.
Good night.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Okay, good.
So let me go ahead and bring that person on. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my. I just eked in time. This is Elise from California.
Hello, Elise.
Hello, Sherry. Hello. Wow. I intended on being able to listen to the call at 4:50, and work did not cooperate today. And so I literally got in the car and dialed in and put myself in the queue because I wanted to also check in and honor my commitment on that whiteboard to really just continue that connection that was established last week at the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's kind of what Karen was just pointing at, isn't it? That making that kind of move helps us to realize how cared for we are.
Yeah.
Right? You made that commitment. It dropped in, and you followed through. And there's that sense of yes, yes. And
yeah.
And the words are not exactly right, but it's something along the lines of, I can do this. It's
mm-hmm.
okay. I'm all right. This is gonna work.
Mm-hmm. especially calling in, like, I mean, I was rushing and everything about today didn't kind of occur the way I'd anticipated. It was just a very, so I was really, those voices were saying, well, you know, just next week you'll call in when you'll be able to be in the queue the whole time, or it's, you know, it's too late, you're rushing. And I'm like, nope. And I, so, yay. Mm-hmm. And, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, it just that. That's a workshop. Getting to see how, see that bamboozle so clearly. Those voices, mm-hmm. voices that want to talk us out of doing the thing that's good for us. No,
yes.
You did. No, you're late. You do it next week. Go ahead, next week. And, of course, next week they're going to have something else that you should be doing. So you do it next week until finally you just forget it, that it's Tuesday or that there's an open air or, yeah.
Mhm. And the, you know, the thing that you most need is what you talk. I talk myself out of sometimes. And,
well, it, you know, those voices talk you out of
the voices. Yep. And
yep.
In this case, I just want to share that with being at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat last week, and then my re-entry mm. has been quite jolting. Like, I felt like a rocket ship. Boom. There wasn't much of a gentleness that I had kind of tried to plan for, especially at work. And what I've been noticing is that at the retreat, I found and maybe was reminded or found for the first time a place of center and calmness that I think I always aspired to know, but didn't have that as a barometer, as a compass. And
mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed since being back, so, you know, it's only been 2 days, and mm-hmm. and especially at work the last 2 days for me was that I've been able to feel a lot more calm inside as everything around me was very turbulent. And it's given
yeah.
me such a reference of where I would like to stay and how to kind of, and I'm not reacting in the same ways. And I know now how I want to kind of keep that. It's just
yeah.
learning to continue the practice to make that last longer or come back to it.
Exactly. Exactly. That is perfectly stated. So you know where you want to be, and
yeah.
you know how you're going to get pulled off, because you will, because we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you're coming back to, what you're coming home to, and that's the practice, right? It's
yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You know, tomorrow maybe tomorrow's a holiday, I guess, so a lot of people won't be going to work, you know, the next time that you're at work, it could be so insane that you just have to go insane with it. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't
mm-hmm.
lost anything. You actually, you haven't forgotten anything. Nothing has changed. It's just now you're going to practice coming back home. That's all.
Yeah.
So lots of recordings about that, right? Lots of recordings
yeah.
that you know where you want to be. You know what it feels like. You actually know how to get there, and that's what practice is, just doing that over and over and over.
Mm. Yes. Thank you,
mm-hmm.
and thank you for helping to discover that place of feeling like home.
Mm. Such a pleasure. Anytime.
Mm. I really appreciate it. Deep, deep
gusto. All right.
Gusto
to you, Elise. Take care.
Happy Fourth. Bye-bye.
Oh, and to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Elise and Sherry. It's 6 o'clock, and I have learned a ton tonight. It's been great.
It's been great. And it was that was
yes.
fun, that fun reminder that tomorrow is Independence Day, the celebration of this country. I know we have people all over the world, and people are celebrating. I think Canada is celebrating very shortly. Oh,
a couple
gosh.
Days ago, July 1st.
July 1st, okay.
Yeah.
And so different folks, different times, but for us in this country, to remember how much we have to be grateful for, and maybe kind of rededicate ourselves to independence for ourselves and for one another and for the country and for the world. So,
wow, that's a great way to go forward. Great motivation.
Mm. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.